The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, from the drama of Brexit to a different sort of drama, Selena Cartmell has been front and centre of the Gate Theatre as artistic director for over 2 years now. She took over from Michael Colgan, who had been director for 33 years. Selena, you're very welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Was it a baptism of fire going into the job?
It certainly was. I always knew it was going to be challenging because of the nature of taking over after someone being in any organisation for 33 years, and it was my first CEO job. And I came in from a freelance background, so obviously running a building, people management, leadership, boards, governance, all of those things that I was obviously completely not used to coming from a freelance as an artist background. So it was challenging. For sure.
I suppose you could argue, though, because of the experience you had in freelance, in a way, you are running a business, you're running your own business as a freelance. You've got to stand on your own two feet. And some of the skills that you would learn in doing that would come in handy when you suddenly go into a management role in an institution like the Gate.
Absolutely. And when you make any art, it's always about collaboration. So working with people is a central part of whatever you do in the rehearsal room or outside of the rehearsal room. When I was a freelancer, I was also producing my own work, directing my own work, designing my own work. So it's an amazing way to learn all those skills so you know how the organisation will run in different departments. But then obviously on a much more holistic leadership role, there's many other things to think about in terms of fundraising, Arts Council, looking after stakeholders. So it's similar, but also very, very different in many ways.
In a way, then, you had this whole other dimension to the job because of what was going on with allegations against Michael Colgan around bullying and sexual harassment and so forth. And you had to deal with that. Was that something that was complicated things a lot more?
It did complicate. Of course it did. And I think what I learned more about crisis management at the time versus artistic directorship. So that was a real sort of swing in my head. It was a kind of you had to sort of flip a switch. Which was like, okay, this needs to be dealt with, which I think we completely did deal with it with the board. We did the independent review, we moved on. But there was also, I think, globally and internationally, there was a movement that was happening. So it was a bit of a zeitgeist moment, being a female leader coming into an organisation and everything that was breaking out around the world as well.
And introducing new measures and new policies around that, often these things come down to culture. Mm-hmm. Within the wider arts, and I think that the international stories that were going around reflected that. Do you think that policies can change culture? Do you think it is changing or has changed?
I think it is changing and it has changed quite dramatically. I think we've put all these different policies in place. There's procedures in place. And I think the arts community as a whole in Ireland, and I think the world, really was more reflective, more aware of what was needed. And so now the Gate has has really shifted, or really the way it works. And the culture there, I think, has really grown into something I hope is transparent, it's full of integrity, it's collaborative, it listens, and it learns from the past. And I can't change the past, but I can build a great new future for the Gate.
Now, when it comes to the past, your own background, you obviously started in theatre quite young. Were your family involved in theatre?
Not at all. My brother was a barrister, which I think, you know, gets paid more money than the arts and dresses up and goes into the courts and puts his wig and costume on. But no, I had no...
conversations over the Christmas dinner table there.
Great conversations. My dad and my brother are both accountants. So there was always a very sort of colourful discussions around from finance to legal to arts, but I was always a bit of a black sheep of the family though.
So you weren't interested in the money road, as it were?
No, but you do pick up a lot of stuff when you've got a dad who was a partner at Deloitte and now my brother's a partner at Ernst & Young. So it's interesting to so numbers were always around.
Yeah. And your mother was a midwife?
She was indeed.
Plenty of drama there.
Plenty of drama there, yes. And in many ways, as an artist director, you're also a midwife in many ways because you're creating and giving platforms and empowering artists and engaging and almost like setting up different artists to create the best work and produce the next, I suppose, baby in a way.
And when did your love of theatre begin? Do you remember the first time you went to see a play or starred in a play?
It was a panto when I was a very young girl of 6 or 7 years old, and my mum took me to see The Golden Goose in Stevenage. And I got up on stage and I felt really comfortable, and I just thought maybe this could be a path for me. And over time it did, and I did a lot of travelling. I went to Bali and I lived in Hong Kong and I learnt Balinese dance, and I think that sort of global perspective really has empowered me at the Gate to think much more internationally of how we can reposition the Gate Theatre.
You worked with a drag queen at one stage.
That's correct.
Did you?
Yes, in Hong Kong.
What was that like?
Extraordinary experience. His name, his company name was Siren, which then I took as my own company here, that I had an independent theatre company called Siren Productions. It was extraordinary. He took me around Hong Kong, dressed me up, met some extraordinary people, did extraordinary parties, and I learned huge amounts about being bold and audacious and believing in yourself. That's what he gave me.
So it's as much about confidence as anything else.
Of course it is. Always is.
And your early contact with theatre and performing was about performing, and you studied dance. And at what point did you decide, you know, I love the theatre, but I'm not necessarily going to be on stage?
I think it was at university when I was in a play and I got stage fright, and of course you always blame the director for that. And then I thought maybe I could do something and help people in that way if I could direct my own work. So I think that was, I actually felt, if you're going to be an actor, the commitment and the sacrifice you give, you really need to know that is 100% what you want to do. And I decided, actually, it's not what I want to do. I want to be behind the scenes. I want to be directing and helping those actors in the rehearsal.
So it wasn't a difficult decision or a great moment of truth. I don't think I can make it as an actor, but I love theatre.
Absolutely. I loved theatre, and I really felt, and it's interesting going from a freelance background as a director to making the decision to then go into running a building and having a venue, is that I think for me the leadership piece of that is to have impact, make social and cultural change in this country and in the world. And ultimately I think what theatre is about empathy. It's about telling stories, diverse amount of stories, a diverse amount of artists who can really transform people's lives. And through those stories, we can learn about each other and hopefully understand each other a little bit better.
When you were freelancing before The Gate, was it difficult? Was it a tough gig to do? You had to find actors, you had to pay actors, decide what to pay actors, pull things together. Was it a bit of hand to mouth?
Absolutely, and it always, and it still is for artists today. It's very precarious. Artists do not get paid the amount of money they should be getting paid, and in order to create more work on these stages and to employ as many artists, in 2016 The Gate employed 311 artists. This year we employed 611 artists. So that for me is a huge part of the remit of what The Gate needs to do. And with that, we obviously have our funders, who's the Arts Council, who are incredibly supportive and loyal to The Gate. But also we need to look elsewhere in terms of fundraising, corporates, philanthropy, all of those other, in order to make this great work and in order to reach beyond just Ireland. We're taking two shows to New York next year, which is really repositioning the brand over there. And hopefully there'll be a lot of Irish-American friends and supporters of The Gate once we go over there.
And it's interesting because you have to be involved and at the forefront of all of that. In a way, does it take you further and further away from the creative aspects of theatre? That's a fundraising management job.
It does, and originally, I thought I could maybe direct two or three shows a year, but now in reality, you realise there's a building to run, there's toilets, there's bar, there's marketing, there's box office, there's all those, and stakeholders, fundraising, as you say, there's all those other elements. And actually, it's a very small percentage of time you actually spend, and it's the most exciting time, obviously, you actually spend with artists to talk to them about ideas. And I would love to think there'd be more time I could carve out for that. But it is a 24/7 commitment.
Was that the most unexpected element when you took over the job, that sense of, I now need to watch out for everything?
Yes, and I spoke to a lot of people in preparation for the interview process for the AD job at The Gate. I did speak to a lot of other leaders to find out how does it actually work. And the majority of them said, you know, 20% of your actual job is working with art, is actually working on the art. The 80% is keeping the building running.
Now, the of the shows that you have done, the likes of The Snapper, The Gate, of course, is famous for the classics, mm-hmm. and doing the classics and sometimes reinterpreting the classics. But The Snapper was hugely successful.
Hugely successful. And what is amazing about Mr. Roddy Doyle, who is not only a gent but a great icon in my view, and a great writer, is that he opened up, and that story opened up Northside Voices, inner city voices, on the Gate stage next to the rotunda where The Snapper was born in the original novel. It opened up a completely different audience for us, which I think 74% of our audience for The Snapper, which has now been revived this year, originally, has run for half a year at the Gate Theatre. 74% have never been to the Gate before of our audiences who came to see The Snapper, which I think is a huge achievement and a holy grail of what theatre should be doing in terms of reaching the breadth and diversity of what audiences should be seeing on the Gate stage.
How did you bring Roddy Doyle in? Did you have to persuade him? Did you make that case? Did he make that case?
No, it was one of the first phone calls I made when I got the job. I had to put together an annual program of work that, when I was going for the interview, The Snapper was in that program. First call I made when I got the job, Roddy, would you be interested? And of course, you know,
you must have brought him for a pint, did you?
I actually brought him for a casual chat.
It was actually a
coffee. It was a lovely little coffee we had together. And it's one of his most prized works, as you can imagine, a very personal work for him. And I knew a lot of people would have already approached him about it, which obviously after The Commitments, the Barristown trilogy, which obviously a lot of people had. And he said yes. And I have to say, it has been an absolute joyous, joyous experience working with him.
The other production that got a huge amount of publicity and everything was Gatsby, the Great Gatsby, and it was done in this very different way. The floor space was opened up, the seats were taken out. Was that did you see that as a real gamble? Were you worried about that?
It was a huge gamble. And when I had, 371 seats at the Gate and all of the seats coming out and taking over the entire building, asking the audience to dress up Gatsby style and coming and exploring the Gate. But for me, yes, it was a risk. And when those suits were coming out, I was slightly terrified that no one would actually come. But they all did. And it sold out. And we've now revived it for a second time last year. And the most extraordinary moment for me was looking down O'Connell Street around 7 o'clock and all of the audiences coming up O'Connell Street dressed up, ready to party at the Gatsby Mansion, and also experiencing something. Opening up the Gate to all the different spaces it has and the possibilities and the imagination of that, I think, really captured the old audience because of the classics and the Gate DNA is classics, and then a whole new audience, fear of missing out, taking their photographs on the Gatsby staircase. It was a really extraordinary moment. And for me, that was one of the key highlights, the opening night of Gatsby in July 2017, I'll never forget.
And you're still directing, and it's a matter of getting that balance right. You're going to do A Christmas Carol, you'll direct that yourself. So you're still keeping that creative hand in.
You have to. But what I've learned, actually, since I've got the job, the how empowering it is not just have to be in the rehearsal room doing your own work, but empowering other artists to make their work and giving them the platform. It's really exciting times.
Well, Selena Cartmell, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.